Hey, Freedom Fighters, welcome into the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris. So great to have you here. Today, we're going to talk about leaving the transactional world of wholesaling behind in favor of doing what I love and absolutely love doing, which is buy and hold real estate. So you got to move away from that paycheck in order to buy those performing assets. We have a special guest on the show today who is the author of the book, Fire Yourself. He's also the host of the 12 Houses to Freedom podcast. His name is Brian Elwood, and he's done something similar to my journey. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Clayton. Glad to be here.
Great to have you here on the show. You're out in Denver, Colorado, which I guess, as you and I were talking beforehand, many years ago might have been a good buy and hold market, but chances are it's not anymore, right?
It's just a place to live now.
So you then invest outside of your comfort zone, outside of where you live in Denver. Is that right?
Yeah. All my rentals are either in Tennessee or Alabama.
Tennessee or Alabama. Okay. Mm-hmm. Areas I know and love as well. Take us back. How did you get started? Obviously, we talked about wholesaling, but take me back how you got started with real estate investing. What did that look like for you? And when did you make that pivot?
Yeah, I had the pretty typical story of having a lot of crappy jobs that I didn't like, and got the college degree, got the corporate job. And I really found myself getting kind of depressed and anxious and just fed up with trading time for dollars every single day when I got up. And so one day I just kind of quit. I had bought my first house, and like, it was back when you got the first time home buyer tax refund. I got a check for like $8,000 for that. And I said, this is more money than I've ever had in my whole life. I'm quitting my job. And I'm going to find out what I want to do with my life. And that's when I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Everyone has their little purple book story, right? At the time they learned about,
of course, instead of, right,
you know, working for dollars, making dollars work for you. So I read that and I realized I got to get into real estate. I started out finding deals for a flipper, a bird dogging, basically. I found 8 deals for the guy my first year. I remember my tax return that year said that I made like $8,000 total. So that was my first year in real estate.
That was your total. Did you have a 9-to-5 at the time, or was it 8,000 total?
I actually quit the 9-to-5. I worked at a grocery store for a while. That's where I met the mentor. But I went into some credit card debt that year. My expenses were incredibly low though. And that was kind of my springboard into real estate. It was only after that year that I got enough confidence to start wholesaling.
Before we get there, I think you just, something you just said is very important, and I hope our audience pays attention to this, because I recently had lunch. I like to talk about our freedom number. It's a thing we give away here on our show. If you go to morrisinvest.com/freedom, it's a 3-page cheat sheet and helps you figure out your expenses, you know, like what it costs you to live your life, and then how many houses, performing assets do we need to reverse engineer in order to get there, right?
Yep.
I was having lunch the other day with an investor who's just starting out, really great guy, and we, you know, had, and I love those sessions and be able to talk to people about their journey. And he has 2 rental properties. He's in an expensive state. He's in an expensive area where his expenses with his family, $6,000 a month, right? So this is a moving target for a lot of people. But I just want to say something to you. $8,000 is all you made, and you cut all of your expenses. And so for people who are listening right now saying, you know, I can't do it. I've got all these things I have to pay for. I can't do it. I mean, what would you say to somebody who just thinks that they have to support this ridiculously high spending lifestyle?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I could go on and on about that. But the short version is, I don't believe that you need to wait until you have all the money in the world to then turn around and try to enjoy your life, right? You should kind of go the other way around and say, well, hey, if I could get by on $3,000 a month, you know, let's just get to that. And then I'll step out of my job and then I'll have all my time available. Yes, I might have to sell my nice car and move into a smaller apartment or whatever, but I'll have all my time available. Then what could you do with your life? You could buy rentals faster. You could probably start a business doing something you're passionate about. And it's pretty easy to make, you know, 30, 40, 50K a year starting a business, like as a one-man show. And so there's really a really kind of a fast path to freedom that a lot of people aren't aware of. And a lot of it does have to do with the fact that they're just kind of drowning in expenses.
Yeah. I mean, we get so weighed down by things and crap. And I've been talking about my journey here on the show lately about just selling everything. You got to check out that video where we're just like selling stuff on eBay and the local Facebook swap group and just pulling pictures off walls. And it's like we become so weighed down by all this stuff that it starts to rule us a little bit, you know, and not a little bit, maybe even a lot, you know. So, not to go off on a sidebar, but I think you talking about only making 8,000 and you were fine. You weren't, you know, you were alive, right? You were still eating. You were able to eat food and have a shelter and you were figuring out your path, right?
Exactly. And that's when all your potential can really be unlocked. Because if your job is eating up most of your time and energy, you're never going to really be able to see what you're made of, what you can go do in the world. So I tell people, you know, don't buy into the whole consumerism kind of dream that America sells you. Instead, you know, think about what you really want and go out and grab that lifestyle, grab that freedom. Don't compare yourself to your friends and your neighbors, because most of them are probably at work all day and they don't like what they do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. That's a great point, right? Compare, who are you comparing yourself to? We talk about keeping up with the Joneses, right? Which mm-hmm. is the Joneses started in Savannah, Georgia on Jones Street. And everyone there just felt the need to get the best wrought iron fence for their house. And, oh, the neighbor did that. I got to do that. But now we think about keeping up with the Joneses as the lifestyle. And it's like, you know what? Most of your neighbors are gone during the day. They're at their 9 to 5 all day. So what are you comparing yourself to? Maybe you should pay attention to Brian, you know, watching Brian's here, reading his book, Fire Yourself, and figure that out, right?
Absolutely.
So let's jump into wholesaling now. So we got the 8,000, we're there, we're figuring out what do I want to do with my life? How do you get into wholesaling?
Sure. So I started going to the local RIA meetings. And as you probably are familiar with, that's what everyone kind of tells you when you're just starting out is get into wholesaling. You know, you don't need any money. You know, there's no risk. You can back out of the contracts really easily and all that. And it's like, oh, this is awesome, you know? And so I dove into that and I kind of put passive income on the back burner. You know, like a lot of people, I talk to a lot of people now, they're like, yeah, I'm wholesaling, but my long-term goal is buy and hold. People tell me that all the time. I'm sure you've heard it a million times. And that was me too. And so I put that on the back burner. I said, well, I'll wholesale first. And I went into this journey and the wholesale business really grew. I mean, after a couple of years of me and another guy who I partnered with doing it on our own, we hired an acquisition manager and a marketing person and an office manager. And at one point we were doing over 100 deals a year and making about $1.5 million in gross revenue. We stayed at that rate for about 4 years in a row. So we were, you know, doing pretty well from a wholesaling perspective. And this was in Nashville. I used to live there. And I found myself one day, I kind of just like, and I actually eventually moved here to Denver while that business was still active and did it virtual wholesaling. So same desk here as I'm hanging out with you on, you know, 4 years ago when I moved here, I found myself, I'd wake up, I'd look at my calendar and I'd be like, man, I have 7 calls today with my team. I got to talk to the office manager. I got to talk to the inside sales guy. I got to talk to the outside sales guy. Like I was literally tied to my desk running the wholesaling business. And we were spending lots of money on marketing, lots of money on payroll. Yeah, I was making a good income, more than I had ever made, but it had nothing to do with what I wanted. You know, my goal was always to do this, write books, do podcasts, help other people, and just have the passive income. And so I kind of just hit a breaking point. And another thing that is significant in my story is the local news in Nashville did a piece on our business where they kind of like just kind of slandered us and threw me and this investor that I had wholesaled a bunch of deals to. They kind of threw us under the bus and were just like, you know, these guys are scamming people. And I was like, what the hell?
Been there, brother. Well,
yeah.
Kindred spirits, my friend, and that's why you can't trust the press. Holy smokes. So how do you feel about the press now? I mean, I've seen it from both sides, but man, have I tell you, when I saw it on the newspaper side and the things that they just conveniently would leave out of the stories in order to further their stories, it's disgusting. It really is disgusting.
Yeah. Well, it's just a fear-based model. You know, I remember when I was learning about what postcards worked the best in real estate, they said the ones that scare people work twice as good as the honest ones. The ones that say, this is your third notice, you must call me right now. And I was like, oh, well, that's the same thing that the media does. That's why they run negative stories all the time, is because they're twice as effective as the other one. So they have to make it sound terrible.
There's been websites that have been tried to launch just around happy news. Doesn't work. They've all failed. They can't.
Yeah.
Work. You know, people like the clickbait. Oh, you want to bring somebody down? You know, you want to bring somebody down. You want to conveniently leave things out of a story on purpose just to target one individual over another. I've seen it. It's so dishonest. It's honestly, recently, I turned off all news notifications on my phone. I don't even do it anymore. I don't even look at it. All I read is like tech news, you know, or all looking, you know, some real estate news, but I don't touch any of the salacious gossip. I think gossip in that way can just be incredibly detrimental to your soul. That's just my sidebar tangent. Sorry.
Yeah. What you put in your mind really makes a difference. For example, I've just been listening to this podcast called Crime Junkie about true murder stories. And I got real addicted to it. I found myself worrying if someone's going to break into my house. My wife was walking to her car from yoga the other day. And I was like, I should walk with her. What if someone attacks her? I realized that what I was feeding my mind was actually affecting my psyche, right?
Right.
So it is important. And I'm sure you're a happier person cutting that stuff out.
It's true. I mean, I would get alerts on my phone. I even tweeted about it the one day where I got an alert about something from the Daily Mail about a mom that did this to her child. I was like, why is this alert coming to me right now in this moment? And I'm playing with my kids or enjoying my family. I don't need to read this crap. I don't need to read it. And I just flipped off notifications and I'll never go back. But sorry to interrupt you. So this local news station did a hit job piece on you and confronted you, right? And what happened? Talk about this and what that did to you.
Yeah, they basically just kind of showed up at my house and had the cameras, and they were just like, you know, so you, you know, are you selling properties without a broker's license? And gosh, I heard him ask me all these questions, and I didn't talk to them because I felt like it would be best not to give them anything to go with, because I knew that it's their platform. They could twist the words how they want.
And let me tell you how that'll go, right? Because I used to work in the new, you know, we showed up at Brian's house. He wouldn't talk to us. And then, you know, it looks like you're the bat. And it's like, no, I'm not going to talk to you, some little news station here that's just trying to get, you know, get your little scoopy story that's not even well sourced or well thought out or well researched or anything, right?
Yeah.
So, sorry.
No.
You really got to skin with this.
I hit a nerve. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, aside from the fact that it was unfair and I was hurt by it and I had to deal with all that, I also kind of realized, you know, it was sort of a breaking point for me where I said, like, so I never really wanted to do this business anyways. I was just trying to get to passive income. I thought this was the path everyone told me to take, but, now, you know, I realize that society sort of sees wholesaling in this ethical gray area, and it's not getting to me to my goals. And the news thing happened, and I just went to my business partner. And I was like, I'm fed up. You know, I don't want to do this anymore. I want us to focus on what we said we wanted from day one years ago. And we somehow lost sight of it because we got so into wholesaling and what's the best marketing. Let's do radio ads. Let's do pay-per-click. Let's do thousands. We were spending like $250,000 a year on direct mail. I mean,
wow.
And we weren't buying any rentals. You know, it didn't make any sense. So we just got totally hypnotized by that business model. And so in hindsight, I guess I'm grateful for the news thing happening because it sort of like directed me to the path that I was really meant to be on in life. And then we started focusing on buying rentals. And within 2 or 3 years, we had 25 or 30 houses. And I owned half of those because I split them all with that guy. And I ran the numbers and I was like, I got about 12 or 15 houses here. Like, dang, I can actually pay all my bills with the cash flow from just these.
Isn't that amazing?
What am I doing working? And that's, and so then we dissolved the wholesaling business. He's actually still doing it. And I now am on a mission to help other people get there for, that's why my podcast is called 12 Houses to Freedom, because I run the numbers. I'm like, 12 houses is actually the same as the average American income of 50K a year. Once you factor in the depreciation write-off and everything, you take home around 40 in either scenario, if you're netting 300 a month per door. And so I'm like, why doesn't everyone focus on that as their path to paying all their bills? And so that's kind of what I'm doing now. I'm still buying rentals and teaching other people how to do it.
That's great. I mean, yeah, you and I are kindred spirits in that way, because like I said, the thing that changed my life was in realizing our freedom number, and like, holy smokes, it was 12 properties. And yeah. I put that 12, and which I encourage our audience to do, you know, I put that on my computer screen. I put it on a refrigerator. I just went after it. You know, I was like, 12 is, I'm like a dog with a bone. And even though I'm working in the TV business, and even though I'm here, it didn't matter. Like, that became my singular focus. So I think you and I are kindred spirits in that way, and trying to help people.
That's awesome.
Build financial freedom. So now how do you pull back from that? So you hit that, you look at that number, and I love this conversation. I was having a conversation the other day with someone about when is enough enough, right? Because you get to a certain level and then you can say, man, I can double my business next year, right? You're in the wholesale. I can triple my business next year. And then at what point, what's it all for, right? If you're financially free, at what point do you say, okay, I'm done. I'm going to take a deep breath now, and I'm just going to live my life.
That's a great question. I heard a quote from Tim Ferriss once. He said that if you don't have a defined stepping out point where you say, once I hit this, I'm going to step out, stop doing that, and do what I want. He said, you always default to just more money, more rentals, more business success. And like you said, I've been part of high level masterminds for years in real estate. And everyone gets up there and presents and says, what's your goal? Man, the goal this year is to double the business. But it's that goal of doubling the business. It's not tied to anything they really want for their life, anything they want to leave behind, like a legacy or helping people or just, you know, their day-to-day lifestyle. So one thing that I hired Kent Clothier to be my personal coach, like throughout this journey, he taught me this concept of starting with your perfect day. So he's like, you know, outline what one perfect day would look like for you. You wake up at what time? What do you do in the morning? What do you do late morning, lunch, afternoon, in great detail? And then I did that. And so then I woke up, kind of like you said with the 12 houses, I woke up every day and I had my perfect day on a piece of paper here. I said, what's the one thing I can do to move more towards living that exact lifestyle? And it was a combination of buying the rentals and getting the education business going. Because part of my perfect day is doing what we're doing here, helping other people. I'd like to at least work for 3 or 4 hours a day minimum doing stuff like this, because it just gives me a lot of gratification. And so that's sort of what I would tell people, is that everything, like businesses, all that is supposed to enhance lifestyle, not detract from it. And if you're not careful, it can easily take away. I mean, how many people that are multimillionaires or billionaires do you know that are unhappy, they can't sleep at night, they're probably on antidepressants, they don't take care of their health, you know, and they have more money in the world, but they don't really know what they want for their life. They're not clear on what's the purpose of the money. So they just keep defaulting to more money.
It's so, I love that. It's so easy to default to that. And I think even without having a full plan in place, right, you map out the day that you want to live and in how you want to, you know, and I've done this a few years ago, and it's fun to go back at it. You know, even if you have a journal, like, you know, use like the Day One app on your iPad. It's an amazing journaling app. And set a reminder so that it alerts you every day to journal. And you wake up the first thing and you journal, or at nighttime. But write down what that perfect day looks like, what Brian's talking about. And then set like a reminder in Apple Notes or something for like 2-3 years from now. And go back and read that perfect day. And you're going to be shocked, because now that you've put that energy into the universe and you've started on this journey and you've started to make these pieces move in the right direction and you've told God, the universe, whatever, I'm moving in this direction. Are you with me? Are you with me or are you not? You know, you're going to be shocked, I think, in 3 years when you look back at that day one journal entry. You're gonna be like, holy smokes, I did it. I'm there. I'm nearly there, right?
It's also an opportunity filter. And what I mean by that is when you're considering opportunities, you always can ask yourself, what does this have to do with me living my perfect day, my perfect lifestyle? Is it going to help that or is it going to take away from it? Mm-hmm. You know, so people right. always say, Brian, do you think this is a good idea? Should I do that? You know, shiny object. I used to be the worst with shiny objects. Like I would literally listen to a new podcast every day and be like, well, now we got to do this.
Right. Crap.
This guy says we got to do that now. And I just had this big mess. I didn't have like a North Star, something I could look at and say, well, how does this relate to me getting there?
Right.
That kind of changed everything for me.
I think you and I are like brothers from a different mother, man, because we're talking about the same stuff here. And I feel like you and I, you know, very similar here in our approach and certainly with like shiny object syndrome. And I, you know, tell new investors all the time, whether they work with us, they go through the process and they're buying their first rental and they take a plunge and they buy something out of state and they've got it cash flowing. It's working for them. They've owned it for 2 years and got a great property management company in place, et cetera. Then they buy a second one, rinse and repeat. Then they get like shiny object syndrome around the third one, you know, and they start like, maybe I should do large apartment buildings. Maybe I should do mobile home parks. Maybe I should buy billboards now because I heard it on a podcast. So it's very easy to get distracted. How do you keep from being distracted? We're constantly being blown up with our phones and news stories and podcasts. How do you keep your focus?
Man, that's a great question. Do you mean in terms of real estate investing or just overall focus for life?
I think when you were seeing success with buy and holds, right? You got to like 25 properties with your partner. Mm-hmm. How did you not on the second property start swerving and start, you know, going this direction? And I don't know what exactly you buy, but you know what I'm saying? Well, we're going to do vacation rentals in Costa Rica now because we had some success with one property. How did you keep focused?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't really know. I've had a little bit of temptation to look into multifamily. It seems like a smart thing to do, but I've never really been pulled to go buy mobile homes or storage space or tax liens or any of those other things. I guess I kind of subscribe to the mantra to go deep before you go wide. Like if I spend all this time learning how to take down single family houses and I'm an expert at it, why not take advantage of that and go deep within that asset class, right? Versus
right.
having to relearn a whole new asset class, because multifamily is obviously really powerful, but it is a whole new learning curve to get into from what I can tell. And single family worked for me, right? It now pays my bills. It pays all my bills. I got 20 some properties on my own now and it just about, you know, pays my bills. It's like I'm financially free from single family. So one thing I would say to people is the best type of real estate investing is the one that you will do, basically, right?
Right.
It's the one that if you wrote all the opportunities on a whiteboard, just ask yourself, like, which one of those excites me the most, gives me the most energy? Which one do I feel the most confident about? And go with that one. Don't try to like compare them mathematically side by side so much. Just pick the one that excites you the most.
I agree. You know, single families, the first two that I ever bought, I grew up in a single family home. So I knew the value, and I lived in apartments in college, and I knew the value of having your own four walls and a roof with a yard. It's your place to call home at the end of the day. You come home, you don't have to hear people banging on the walls and everything. So that just appealed to me. I had tenants that stayed long time. So I find your 5-year leases. Like, why would I swerve into something I don't know? And yes, it sounds attractive and it sounds appealing with 100-unit apartment complexes and all that. But single-family homes, fewer moving parts, and it's been the way I've achieved financial freedom and success. Brian's done it as well. So it can be done, and you have to find something that speaks to you, right? Some people like to flip land or buy land and lease it out. If that speaks to you, great. Do something like what Brian says that you're gonna stick with. That's great. So now you're financially free. You're helping other people. What's next for you on this journey? Where do you go from here? If it's not double my business, triple my business, where do you go from here?
Well, I kind of think about that in terms of the impact I want to leave on the world. And there's a lot of things I'd like to teach people about. I'm really into personal development or health and fitness or mindset and leadership. But I started with real estate because, as we both know, real estate really has the power to change people's lives. And it's the thing that I'm an expert in now. So my current mission is to help thousands of people, if not more, get their first 12 houses, right? And really just help lots of people crack the code on that so that they're doing what they love with their time. And then I think maybe a few years down the road, I'd really like to teach people entrepreneurship, because I find that even if you have financial freedom, you're still going to want to do something with your time. You're not going to feel fulfilled if you're just like swinging in a hammock and watching Netflix all day. You have to like have a purpose, right?
Yeah.
And so, but a lot of people don't really know how to start a business. So that's kind of my phase two. And from then on, I want to write a lot of books. I love writing. I'm working on my second one now. And that's about as far as I can see in the future.
Oh, I love that. And you're right about the entrepreneurship part, which is why, you know, on my YouTube channel, I've kind of split some of my attention lately, not just talking about real estate, but also helping people start a business. Because as you know, owning rentals is, you know, passive income. So how can you convert this into like an active, you know, how can you be active with this business so that you can lower your taxable burden as well by having a business that invests? It's, you know, there's incredible tax benefits, you know, if you go back to the rich dad, poor dad way of thinking about this. So yeah, I'm not one of those people that can just sit on the sidelines and watch Netflix all day. I have to be creating. And there's a way to build a business around that that can help you create as well as make some money and lower your taxes as well. Well, that's awesome, man. I'm thrilled that we were able to connect, and I'd love to have you back on when the next book comes out as well. And everyone should go check out the current book, Fire Yourself. What was the idea behind writing that book?
So that book is actually about how to hire an acquisition manager for your wholesaling business. It's not related to rental property investing. A couple years ago, I was like, I'm going to start my coaching business, and I want people who are actively investing in real estate. I kind of tried to pick a niche topic, ended up attracting a lot of people who just wanted to grow their wholesaling businesses. So in hindsight, I wish I would have wrote a book about rental properties, but you live and learn.
Right.
So that's a book about growing a wholesaling business. And it's helped a lot of people. If that is your goal, then I definitely recommend you can get it for free at fireyourself.net.
Perfect. And yeah, I imagine the next book will, you don't have to give away the secret yet, but I have a feeling I know where you're going next. So
I'll just tell you, it's called 12 Houses to Freedom. So
there you go. I had a thought about it. So, well, Brian, it's been great to get to know you. And, you know, I love being able to connect with someone kind of at that soul level that I could feel, you know, if we weren't even doing a podcast, we would become fast friends and be able to hang out for a long time. So I'd love to have you back here on the show. And I love, you know, you've been able to share your positivity and kindness with our audience and your knowledge about this journey. So thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you for what you do as well.
Thank you. And thanks to all of you for downloading and subscribing. We really appreciate it. Go check out everything we talked about with Brian. We'll have links up in our show notes page for you to go check it out. Check out the book. Check out his podcast as well. Don't follow shiny object stuff, though. I want you to stay focused. All right? You got to stick with it. Stay focused. We'll see you next time, everyone. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth and financial freedom. Bye, everyone.